all things Aussie hoops and NBL fantasy. Three blokes catching up over a can of three. So many things that we cannot wait to see. Do we like cheese and Pinot now that Wetzel chose to go? Or with a sieve and some Frenchmen, can the pretzel raise his dough? The defending champs signed Dalla Vadova. Mojave's still the next star, but will he supernova? There are makers and hunters and cooks for the Kings, but will it end up in championship rings? Harvey's floating around again. He'll be picking rolling with Big Duke Reef and two blokes named Froling. We love Big Will That Thrills and Kai Soto from the Fills, and Big Zim on the rim with Machado feeding him. Will the Bullets be a force with Sobey and Tyrell when the Law's headed west? Only time will tell. So without further ado, we're back for NBL 22. G'day listeners, you're back with Benny Banksy and Boydie the Basketball Blokes, dribbling all things Aussie Hoops and NBL Fantasy. Now we've got all three of us back on board, back at our homes. Unfortunately, we're still over Skype at present due to the current COVID situation down here. But how are we, boys?
I mean, I'm just here. I've been told, I feel like I'm representing my club well. I've been told that I look like and I feel like a shade of Southeast Melbourne Green in multiple occasions today. So I think Boydie, you're probably going to run the show a bit more, but it has been a good couple of days for the Phoenix. I can't wait to talk about that, and it's been continued to be a good round for Banksy, who's back. Sing us a song, Banksy. Justin did well last week, so how's your fantasy game going from last round, mate?
I think I'm sitting okay. My voice is still a bit rusty, if you notice. Have had COVID run through the family over the past week or two. So still recovering, but my team has been doing okay. Sat, obviously, with the cancellations at number one overall for two rounds. Dropped back to number three last week, but partly by design. I think I'm sitting pretty heading into next round, and some of the additional games probably worked in my favour as well. So,
we'll see how that pans out. Definitely sitting pretty, as from what we can see when Benny and I are looking at our team's Banksy. So you're sitting currently ranked third overall after a couple of weeks sitting first. So we've spoken at length about that at different times, but I thought it was a good moment to, Benny thought it was a good moment to chat, to talk up our Patreon supporters and their current rankings. So we've currently got the number two ranked person, the Glanmire Tornadoes with Keegan O'Mahony. We've also got fifth place with Woody's Wanderers, Mark Wardwood. How much Wardwood? No, sorry about that. And then ranked seventh at the moment, Mola, the real MVP, which gets a couple extra points for team name from me with Jacob Murray. So we're doing okay. And I guess probably one more we should click in there, Benny.
I just noticed we had the chat with Roy from DT Talk, and now we've got Warney.
Warney! Coach of the Wanderers!
Sitting in 10th overall. Now, I remember Warney sending us a message going, oh, this shouldn't embarrass me, should it? In our little preseason messaging. And no, certainly not. 10th overall, doing very well, Warney. And look, I just wanted to, as I thought this could be a good moment for Boydie to give some advice to Banksy. He's not in the runner, but we've always accused Boydie of not giving full information and stuff like that when he's been up there, especially when he's competing against our Patreon supporters. What can we expect from Banksy? And have you got any words of wisdom, Boydie, in providing information when you're competing against these guys?
Look, don't stuff up would be my number one piece of advice. Like I have, I've obviously been kind of thereabouts and made some silly moves in down the stretch, and it's cost me, you know, top 10, top fives maybe finishes. So
can we expect you to be the honest, Banksy?
I will be, and I have been honest, and I think it was really interesting last round. You mentioned some of those names there in the rankings with our patrons, and it's just an interesting how some went a different strategy last week. I know for a fact that Jacob's team, Mola, the real MVP, he decided to spend last week instead of bringing in all the New Zealand players. As far as I'm aware, he used that as an opportunity to upgrade KZ, whereas I have to do that this round. So it's just interesting in those top few rankings, the way different coaches went, where, you know, I brought in Yanni and Franks, and I still have KZ sitting on my bench, whereas some other coaches in the top 10 used that as an opportunity to get him out early. So I think it'll all sort of even out over the next week or two, depending on which way people went.
Beautiful.
Yeah, no, I think it's a little bit, I'm always honest with you guys, but we normally pod very early in the week, and some of my decisions, be good ones or bad ones, are made very close to lockout. So I'm generally...
How many times, Benny, have we heard Bordy say, oh, damn it, that's the one I had as... That's the one I didn't want to bring up. Yeah, that was my unique.
That's usually pre-season.
Difference.
That's usually pre-season. I think I did let you know this year that my pre-season little sneaky pick, well, it hasn't turned out too well, but for the first round or two, it worked out well with I can't remember his name.
Was from Matt
Adelaide.
Kenyon, was it?
That's
Who? Oh, Withers.
Todd Withers, yeah. Okay. The big Withers,
that's,
mate.
That's sneaky. You can't remember.
Yeah, that's it. I've forgotten about him now since Adelaide haven't played a game in, or like what, a month? All right, let's keep going with, as it is, let's go with the fantasy news.
NBL Fantasy News.
All right, I know Benny's very excited about this one. I'm not too sure. Look, I'm excited, but I'm not too sure how it fits, but... obviously, news came out in the last 24 hours of Brandon Ashley signing with the Sem Phoenix. He's already in the game if you look for him. He's a $1 million power forward / center.
What's he wearing in the game, though?
Oh, he's got the wrong uniform on. I believe it will get... Yeah, don't be looking at the uniforms. He's got the wrong uniform on, but definitely got the... He will have that uniform on properly soon.
That's right. I can't wait to see him. He's... I went to basketballblokes.com and looked at the player game logs at Banksy's Pride and Joy, and I can easily find out that he averaged 32.5 fantasy points for the year. And
oh, someone's finally used it.
That included, he was just under the next star for Terry Armstrong. So, you know, all the players are in there, Banksy. So that included a 10-game run where he averaged 42 fantasy points, and that equates to... Across the season, he averaged 1.5 fantasy points per minute, which is well above average. So the guy can fantasy. Thankfully, he should be relatively fit. He was playing in Italy in late November, so he's not too far removed from playing. So I want to ask you, fellas, what do you think of Brandon Ashley, the Bash brother, as a fantasy prospect? And what effect do you think it will have on Chi and Creek in particular?
It's a tough one there because they've really got four guys there that sort of demand minutes, I would say. You got the Chi's, you got Creek, you got Bashley, and you've got Pinot, who's been good in previous seasons as well before becoming injured. So, look, I don't know. Pinot and Chi's have kind of been splitting the minutes 50-50 almost. And then it's a real tough one. Banksy, you got anything to add?
No, just that I love Brandon Ashley as a player. He was definitely in my fantasy squad when he was with the Breakers. And, you know, he's just that fantasy goal that can rack up the rebounds. He can shoot, you know, and at those defensive numbers as well. But I guess the way I look at that setup for you guys at the Phoenix at the moment is it's basically the reverse of the Breakers. Breakers obviously guard heavy, whereas the stacked Phoenix squad now have a lot of bigs there where, you know, it's got to come from somewhere. I'm not too worried about Cheese because I think you've mentioned this on Twitter there as well, Benny, that he was already playing under 30 minutes a game anyway, so not likely to affect him too much. But when you got Cheese and Pinot, and you've got Brandon Ashley and Creek playing at times the four as well. I'd be looking elsewhere. They're just too stacked.
Yeah, look, I think the main one that's going to hurt maybe is Creek, and he's like currently, I think he's about the third or fourth highest picked player in NBL fantasy. So, he's probably the one that might affect more. Like you said, Cheese has played 30 minutes over the last two games. Whereas Pinot's only played about 10 or 11 from what I thought he was playing a little bit more than that. But
Whereas Creek's averaged sort of 30 to 36, something along those lines, the whole sort of season. So I think his numbers might, or his minutes might tick back a little bit. But it'd be an interesting sit. I think I'd probably just sit and watch. I wouldn't be getting him straight away, noting that Sem have the double next week. It'd be nice, but I don't think he's even in the country yet. So I wouldn't expect him to play this week. He'd probably touch and go to play next week. So he's kind of one you kind of almost have to wait and see, I think.
Beautiful. Next bit of news is we've had the news about World Cup qualifiers, and just wanted to touch on this kind of briefly. So Beveridge was announced as the coach first, and these games are scheduled in late February. So we're going to have plenty of time, and I'm guessing the team will be announced in plenty of time. So I want to kind of just put people's minds at ease with how this will impact NBL fantasy, because the NBL, given all the cancellations, are just going to play through. So they'll need to pull, read an article from Matt Lowe today that Basketball Australia and the NBL kind of wanted them to make at least one player available from every team. So that's going to happen. I know on NBL Overtime they suggested names that they'd like to see suit up, including Jack White and Dejan Vasiljevic, and Glover had said that he would actually like to play. Now, if one important thing is that the league can't stop a player from representing their country if they want to. So not the top line NBL guys that we're going to see, like your Sobeys and alike. I couldn't imagine they're going to play, but they're going to really target development players and some of the youth draft prospect types as well. To be partnered alongside Nick Kay, who's their number one target out of Japan.
Well, we played Japan in the second game, and he's obviously playing over there at the moment. So, and they're breaking for the comp or for the window. Yep. So I think Bevo, obviously, Bevo's got history when Nick Kay once upon a time played under Bevo at the Illawarra Hawks. Yep. So I think that works out well. He'd probably be the key piece there, and then get some other pieces around it. You know, look, Melbourne United have been playing without Jack White mostly the start of the season as well. I wouldn't think that's too big of a deal. If he gets chosen to play, the only thing, obviously, it's going to hurt fantasy coaches that pick him up, but you've still got a month to plan for this, and we'll know in advance because they'll have to fly over there, they'll have to be training, etc. You've got plenty of time.
Yep.
But I guess the only thing I would pick up is maybe your imports would be more attractive for the time being if you can pick up a cheaper import, which we might discuss a bit later in the questions. So I might just leave it at that.
God, I haven't actually checked this, but I wonder if the likes of China have qualifying, because not that Big Lou does much. He's third rank in Brisbane at the moment after... What did you say Jack Salt did to Tyrell Banksy?
He rubbed the salt into the wounds a little bit for you, Benny, unfortunately.
Yeah, that's right, after I picked Tyrell. So he could be obviously the big one is Joe Chi, if we'll have to double check that.
And look, the only thing with big Joe Chi, even like, let's say Sem could have a single that round. We don't know yet. Yep. It's so far in advance. Like at the moment, the fixture's only out to the end of January, and as what's happened over the last two or three weeks, like this fixture is not set. So I wouldn't be panicking just yet, fantasy wise. You know, hope and pray that you'll have plenty of time to get a certain player out if you need to. If Cheese isn't playing, well, that's going to be kind of a big deal. But you know, you might hope that Sem only have a single that round. Yada yada. So
yep. wouldn't be worrying about it at all.
That's exactly why I want to talk about it, just to put people's minds at ease, because we have been getting quite a few questions through. Bordy, some players' minds at ease with regards to injuries now.
The Injury Report with Dr. Boyd.
All right, so the biggest news was the Kings coming out today and saying both their imports that have been on the sidelines for a little while now will be playing at least the first game. So Jalen Adams will suit up, confirmed starter for round six. He was a confirmed starter, and then they got their game cancelled. So extra rehab time. He'll be 100% just about coming into this one, they're saying. The other one is also RJ Hunter. Their import wing will be in uniform on Thursday, pending a fitness test, they are saying, with him, though. So They're without Mikhail Maker and Bawali Bales. I think Bales is at least a couple of weeks away. It didn't look good when he rolled that ankle however he did it. Mikhail Maker, I think it's a knee soreness maybe. I can't remember. I did read it earlier, but now I've forgotten. Classic Dr. Boyd. And with Glover, the other thing is Glover will not play the first game for Sydney. So they're obviously on a double this round. They've got the first game, I think, Friday or Thursday. Thursday. So they play the Thursday game this week, and then they play on Sunday. So Glover's out for the Thursday game due to COVID protocols. But he will possibly play on the Sunday, but it could be reduced minutes. All the better for Jalen Adams owners, I would think.
I was going to say that. There's a couple of things in there that make Jalen an attractive trade target this week, which we'll talk about later. But, you know, no Glover, no Bales. Adams an extra week under his belt to get that that injury right. So,
I like it. Theoretically, if both those guys are fit, you could see Jalen and RJ playing some pretty bulk minutes with how their roster's sort of with Bawali out, Glover out for the first game. So they've only really got Sean Bruce there. DJ 3J, too. So it will be interesting to see how that happens. RJ Hunter's nice and cheap. I know he's a bit of a risk at the moment, but he did have, I think the first game he played, he had 27 fantasy points in only 12 minutes. So obviously can score fantasy points, but he might be a little bit of a wait and see.
Can't be trusted.
There's one of those secret ones that Boydy never tells us about. Dr. Boyd and the injuries. Perth, Paddy Sweeney on tweet today said after days of only two players being available, the Perth Wildcats will have 12 of their 15 members take part in training tomorrow. So obviously COVID has smashed the Perth Wildcats. Four players were released from the Tasmanian hotel isolation today, another six tomorrow. They've only got the single this week, but it sounds like basically all of them had COVID to some degree. I'd be wary on probably carrying too many Perth guys there. But noting they've only got a single this week, so hopefully you're not going too hard with them anyway. And then an update from the JJs earlier this afternoon as well. Their CEO, Simon Brookhouse, said the full squad's expected to be available for the new Round 7 fixture, which is only a single against New Zealand on Sunday as well, I think it is. It might even be Monday. No, it's Wednesday. Jeez, so we've got almost a full, well, we have got a full week. Plenty of time for them to come back. So I would expect maybe all of those guys to be back from there now. And I think Banks, he's probably going to do a little bit of a run through on the schedule.
Failing to plan is planning to fail. It's time for the Schedulizer.
All right, guys. So obviously we have the revised schedule heading into round 7. If you haven't, make sure you head to our website, busballblokes.com. I think Boardy's added a couple of new Benny, judging by the shake of the head there, has added some extra features to the schedulizer there. So we've added two extra columns in, which are really important with your planning going forward. We've got games played through round 6, so you can see which teams have played the most games, which obviously have played the least games, but also games left post round 9, most importantly. Reason I say most importantly, for example, round 7, we know that we were lucky to have New Zealand on a triple now, and then we've got obviously a host of teams with doubles being Illawarra United, which was a nice one for Agata owners, and the Sydney Kings as well on the double. But, I mean, after this round, you know, importantly, I don't think we can look into round 8 and round 9, although we've got something on paper to look at. As we've just seen over the last 3 weeks, anything can happen. And even though we've got games going ahead in round 7, again, that all changed just a few days ago. So I'd only read into round 8 and round 9, you know, minimally, because that can all change. And as we know, we've got games to be made up. And we don't know when those games will be made up right now. We know that was mentioned that that was hopefully going to be January, but we're already halfway through January, and we still don't have any other extra games aside from what we've seen in round 7. Importantly, though, I was just going to say, Boardy, there before you jump in, is, you know, with your planning going forward, it is really hard to to plan with these schedule changes. But what we can now look at is the remaining games for each of the clubs going forward. For example, after this week, once New Zealand have played their triple, they will have played 10 games already, whereas you've got going forward teams like Cairns, which have only played four. That's a huge discrepancy of six games between the two clubs. So something to really consider with your planning going forward, although we don't and can't, you know, take with a grain of salt, if you like, what we do have with the scheduler at the moment. It's more a focus of how many games are remaining per club.
Yeah, what I was going to say on there is, you know, everything you said there was true, Banksy, that we really don't know what's going on at the moment week by week, which is really tough for our forward planning. But I was having a think about it when I looked at this in the rundown, and what this will influence on my strategy is probably decisions more maybe related to bench and possible downgrade. It's, you know, for example, if you're looking to downgrade to someone to chuck on your bench, you might pick up one of the guys maybe that's got more games throughout the rest of the season, because you can just park them there knowing that they're going to have extra games compared to someone else from, you know, say New Zealand, who after round nine at the moment, they're only going to have 16 games compared to someone from Cairns who might have 22. Now, thinking off the top of my head with those two teams, I'm not sure who I'd put park on my bench for a bit of a comparison there, but that was one thing. And the other thing was, say your starting lineup's pretty set and you're looking to bring someone else in, maybe in a bench spot for a week or two until their schedule gets better. This is another, you know, thing that's, you know, part of your strategy you could use this for. So, you know, say at the moment you're set because you got, yeah, even Jalen Adams. Let's go with Jalen Adams at Sydney. You've got him at your point guard for the next 3 weeks, right? So Sydney, you've got five games in 3 weeks, but you've got the flexibility there. You've got a luxury trade that you could go, you know what, I'm going to bring Machado in, maybe not this week because he's still injured as far as we know, and there's not been an update so far, but maybe next week if there's some good news out, even though Cairns' schedule only got two singles, you can go, you know what, they're going to have 22 games left compared to, say you've got the Bullfrog or Siver or someone sitting in that PG spot. Majet even, because Taz is the other team that's only going to have about 16 games left post round nine as it stands. You can go, you know what, I'm just going to go Majet down to Machado or Siver up to Machado or what have you, knowing that you're going to get the benefit of those, what, six extra games over the course of the next 10 really? Rounds or thereabouts.
Really good point, Boydie. And I guess another really easy example we can use is after this week, obviously a lot of us will have Yanni Wetzel in our squads. He will have played 10 games. And if you're looking at a simple trade next week, you might be looking at trading in the big cheese. Well, in that case, he will have only played five games. So that trade, just simply from Yanni to the big cheese, although we don't know on a week-to-week basis the exact schedule, we still know with that trade that Cheese is going to be playing five more games going forward versus Gianni in that trade.
And Banksy, yep, with the week-to-week changes that we've been having, it's obviously been a rough month for the NBL and scheduling and fantasy coaches trying to follow it, less importantly. But are you feeling a bit more positive about things going forward? Obviously, that's the league's position, that they think that there's going to be less need for this because of the amount of COVID cases that have already happened with clubs?
I think so. I mean, no one knows the numbers for sure, but at a guess, I'd say 50% of players have probably encountered, if not had, COVID at this point, which is not good. But I guess thinking forward, it's a good thing in that, you know, less players are likely to encounter it in the short term, at least going forward, which, as you said, we're the least important when it comes to these type of issues being fantasy coaches, but it also makes our lives a little bit easier forward planning. And, I mean, no one's got a crystal ball. We don't know how it's going to pan out, but I'll just use an example, and it's just something that come into my calculations with weighing up some of my trades this week, and I'm happy to use an example. I was weighing up trading in either Big Jock Reith or Jarrell Martin. And as we know, the Hawks have definitely had their bout of double-digit COVID cases from what we've heard in the media over the last couple of weeks, whereas Sydney haven't had those cases. But now it's come out today that Glover, etc., has been in some sort of contact there, where it's going to be a concern with not playing next game, etc. So, you know, again, no one's got a crystal ball, but it's something that comes into calculation with forward planning if you're looking at trading in players where we know COVID has certainly run through those teams with double-digit cases versus some of the clubs where it hasn't been reported they've had any cases at this point.
So just a tiebreaker maybe?
Potentially.
Beautiful.
I like it. All right. It's time for the fantasy full court.
Need an adjudication on who to trade in this week? How about a ruling on who to sit or start? Let's see who submitted their case for judgment in the fantasy full court.
All right, I thank our Patreon supporters for their questions this week. We opened it up to them earlier this afternoon and people were pretty quick to get back to us with a few questions. So we had the TLG, we'll call him TLG on here. What are we going to go with? TLG. TLG, how many breakers is too many? And then he followed up with another question. Rank these four: Bullfrog, Big Willie, Civ, Jalen Adams. So Banksy, how many breakers are too many?
Well, for me, three would be too many. And the only reason I say that is I've got two, and the most popular two being Yanni and the Bullfrog. Considered the Civ this week, I think he's undervalued, but understanding based on that question, there's again that heavy guard rotation at the Breakers. But we've got to remember that after this week, after their triple, they've played the most games out of any club. You only get two trades a week, and if you've got more than two, it's going to be hard to get these New Zealand guys out of your squad as well.
Completely agree, mate, and that's my theory on the I've got two as it stands at the present as well, Yanni and the Bullfrog.
Mm-hmm.
So I think, I'm with you. I think three you could possibly do.
I think three is a possibility as well.
Because you could keep, you know, I think at a stretch you could keep one, be it maybe not Yanni on the bench, but I would definitely, look, I have had Bullfrog sitting on the bench one or two rounds so far. So I think you could do that possibly if you had to. And same with probably Civ and maybe Finn Diesel at a stretch as well, based on his price.
Yep.
I think three is probably, the go-to.
Yep, two or three, I'd agree. I wouldn't say that, like, if putting an arbitrary number is probably not the best way to do it. If you've got Delaney and Jeremiah Martin, we are not telling people to avoid Yanni this week, are we?
No.
Definitely not.
So Yanni is almost a must this week. Mm-hmm. Number one trade target for the week. I think that's fair. You're obviously not going to trade out any of your Breakers players, but I think three, if one of those is including Yanni, would be good. If you've already got Yanni in one of the other ones, it's not necessary to bring in an extra one, I don't think. But Bordy, go through these rankings. How do you have them?
Oh, those four, I'd be going Jalen Adams first, then probably Bullfrog, Civ, Willie McDowell-White.
That is exactly probably how I'd have it as well at the moment.
And I'm three from three.
Three for three. This is the big decision, I think, at the moment, is Civ versus Jalen Adams, isn't it? So maybe talk about it there, because this is,
Let's go with it.
This is my most reversed trade this week. How's it sitting for you guys? Have you considered Peyton Siever at all?
Yes, I have at his price. We've gone with Dubs versus Trips. So we had a few questions on this. So Pete Stone, Bucks, Dave P, Charlie Horse, Civ / the Bullfrog on Trips, or Jalen Adams on the Dubs? Or Finn Diesel on the Trips or Cooks on the Dubs were the two big questions, I guess, that we bulked together a little bit. So Civ and the Bullfrog, obviously we already just said that we've all three of us ranked the Bullfrog higher than Civ, but I'm noting that some people might not be able to afford the Bullfrog if you're bringing him in this week. Then the Civ is obviously an option, or Jalen Adams on the Dubs. Now, at the moment, I've kind of gone with a bit more of a long-term look at this. So I've gone with Jalen Adams at the moment because, as I said, Sydney have got five games in 4 weeks. NZ have that as well. But obviously they've got the more important triple this week. But I just think Jalen Adams looks a little bit more legit there. He's, as we talked about earlier, he's definitely getting minutes based on their roster at the present. Whereas the Civ, you know, New Zealand roster still scares me, but those four guards, like Bullfrog, Civ, William McDowell Wright, and
Hugo
Boisson, they're kind of Boisson. It's like croissant, but with a B. And you probably, you know, any one of them could just start balling out in the first half, and then that automatically guarantees them to get more minutes in the second half, you know, and it could almost be a raffle as to who gets that each week, who's running hot. Obviously, we've seen the Bullfrog do that the last couple of games, I guess. Civ looked pretty good in that game, and it was noting it was his return game. I think he had a 34, didn't he, in fantasy points, so no slouch game.
It's his ceiling, I reckon.
Yeah. You reckon that's ceiling now?
Yeah, look, I think I have the same concerns with that New Zealand guard rotation that you do. I think I'd answer it a little bit differently. If this is a start-sit question, I'd start Jeremiah Martin over Adams.
Okay.
But if it's a trade-in question where we've got to looking longer term, I'm Jalen all the way.
Yeah, I'm the same.
I feel – I don't know about you, Banksy. You did the video on him at the start, and we were both – it was the Majette and Adams combo. That was the ideal backcourt. These were the guys that we were really impressed with in the preseason. I just feel like Jalen Adams feels like set and forget, whereas the Seaver feels like fret and regret.
You've really thought about that. No, 100%. I have been playing with this trade-in option a lot over the last couple of days. And look, Siva, I think if they were both the same price, you're going to go Adams 100%. I think the only reason we're considering Siva is, yes, he had a good return game and he's underpriced. I think he has underpriced what he's going to score going forward. But yes, definitely with the guard rotation. The usage is in Adams' favour 100%. Not just short-term because Glover and Bales is out, but longer-term as well. They don't have that lockjam at the guard position. But I also think, you know, if you're thinking longer-term as well, it would actually save you a trade if you go Adams, because if we're looking at the games remaining after this round, I think Seaver eventually becomes a trade-out, whereas Adams is one you can hold. You know, for me, it's likely going to be Majette and Adams at my two point guard positions. I think it saves a trade longer term as well, where you can hold Adams, whereas Seaver's likely going to be a trade out target at trade out at some point.
I don't think I'd be putting people off Seaver though. I think we still are it's apparent we're very tempted by him at his price.
Oh, 100%.
Yeah. What's he, 800K or something, isn't he?
Yeah, if it's a compare the pair meerkat style though, like we're going Adams over Seaver at the moment. But if you cannot afford to do it, if you've got Kyle Zunich and you can get up to Seaver, we would be encouraging that 100%.
Yeah, I think so. I think we'd be doing that. Mm-hmm. If you're set and you've already got Adams and Majette, like, and you need a bench spot, Seaver's a no-brainer really. Almost you can park him at 860K and just let him sit there, although, as I mentioned before about the schedule, they've got less games than everyone, so you'd probably want to be getting him out at some stage too.
Well, for example, if you can't get Zunich up to Adams, you might not have the cash sitting there.
Yep, exactly.
You still want to be upgrading Zunich, which is basically a zero right now, up to Seaver on triple.
Yep.
Nothing wrong with that trade.
Yep, like it. All right, what about the Finn Diesel to Cooks?
I feel like I can't answer it. God.
Finn Diesel on trips, Cooks on
Dubs. God, he was disappointing.
You got the bias.
I love Cooks, and yeah, I've got Finn in my roster at the moment. I think Finn had a 14 last time he played one of his opponents in Tassie. Just, I don't know what is going on, to be honest. Normally I would say, what's the safest? I generally go, what's the safest route to 100 points for the round? And surely Finn can give us 330s. That's my thinking.
I'll give you this, Benny. He's averaging 26 over the last three, 25 over the last five. So that would be no. Whereas Cooks is averaging 57 over his last three and 51 over his last five. So technically, by the numbers, Cooks is your easier 100 points for the round on the double.
Yeah. So That honestly is the way I would lean if I had the two.
Cooks's floor is 29 points so far, this, whereas Finn's is 8.
Yep.
So if you cop 3 8s, it's not even going to get you 29.
Look, I feel confident that Finn can turn it around. Look, he's going to have 120 for the round. I'm just letting you know, okay?
Jesus.
Just like Tyrell was going to go off for me last week, but yeah.
Cooks plays the Hawks as well in that first game of the round, and he scored a 54.
He had a double-double, yeah.
Mm-hmm. He did, and I'd say chances are he should do quite well against the Breakers in the second game.
And
they are the number one team for bigs.
I think you are right too, Benny. I think Delaney will score 120, and he might get 130 in the other game.
And have the last game cancelled. Very good, you bastard.
Alrighty, that's answered that one there with Finn,
that question,
bias,
mate.
Bias. Are we going to start sits already? Yeah, okay, let's get some start sits. Ruby and Nick Turner, Majette or Glover? Well, I guess the Glover news today answers that. Do we even have to answer this one? Majette. On a single,
yeah,
for sure.
Yep.
He's been bad, but we know he can put up scores, and I think he'll come good. I think they've been smashed around a little bit with players out, etc. I think Majette looks heaps better when Magne's in there, and Magne's looking good, which hopefully, fingers crossed, as a Magne owner, that's going to come to fruition soon.
One day.
Marco, Majette and Reith starting with Franks on the bench, or Agata, Franks starting with someone else on the bench and SG?
Bit of an incomplete question, but I'm fine doing that first option.
Majette and Reith.
Yeah, I'm fine benching Franks, to be honest, this week up against the Phoenix. What do you think, Banks?
Yeah, I'm taking that first option all day long. I will have Franks on my bench this week. So,
yep.
Reith obviously got the 2 games. Majette got the 1 game. And in the second option, Agata's obviously got the 2 games. Franks on the single. And we don't know who that SG bench will be. But, yeah, I'd be taking number one.
I'm a little bit more unsure on that. But, yeah, I think.
Oh, if he says Bryce Cotton on the bench, then maybe that changes it.
I think it's a cheaper one. But I think you're if you go in the numbers, I think you'd be going Majette and Reith starting, even though Majette's only on the single. What value do you put on DPs in selecting
these
players?
These are not development players, so you missed a letter there.
We're talking – oh, what have I put? DPs? Dual positions?
Yeah, because you know what DP stands for. It's probably not. We can probably, you know, we'll move on from that. Dual position players.
What a typo. You got a sore throat. Is that what you're saying?
No.
Moving on.
All right. I've got lots
dual
of
position players.
Let's go with dual position players. All right. Well, I was just going to answer this with basically, because I've done this the last few weeks, I've got a bunch of them, and a lot of them are on my bench at the moment. I think my whole bench at one stage were all dual position, and what that allowed me to do through the six-man position, I could basically swap the whole bunch of them. So, you know, for example, 1 week I had, let's say, Magne was a power forward. I slid him up to center. Then I put McVay, who was at small forward, up to power forward. Then I moved, Travis. I think I had Fraser. So I had Fraser from shooting guard up to small forward, yada, yada. And Bullfrog, I think, was point guard up to shooting guard, then I can.
It's really fun.
It's fun, and it makes it easy. But you know, you've got to do it for the right reasons as well. Just because a player's dual position, I wouldn't be picking him just for that reason. You've got to be liking how he's going about it, and you don't want some spud just because they're a dual position. Unless you're writing off a position, like if you're just going to pick up the cheapest dual position 250k just to park on your bench and move him around just forever getting zeros, then go nuts. But yep. What about you, Banksy?
I'll use an example for you. Happy to. I have Caleb Agata on my shooting guard bench right now. I'd love to get him into my small forward position on the court instead of having to play Travis or McVay on a single. And as it stands, unless I change my trades up, I can't do that. And hopefully that just indicates how important these dual position players are. Because if I had a little bit more flexibility there, I'd be able to get Agata on for the double as opposed to being stuck with McVay or Travers playing on a single at the small forward position. So very important.
Yeah, and it's a great tiebreaker, I find. I'm assuming you blokes are the same. The centre position is really difficult to work around at the moment with lots of good options.
Yep.
But I feel like we're lacking the amount of PFC eligible players that we had compared to years gone by. So yep. You really honestly have to limit the amount of centre-only players, and it even makes the likes of Xavier Cooks less attractive compared to a Robert Franks. Like, even though I personally like Cooks better, if the schedule and the price and everything was lined, I would take the dual position eligibility of Franks as a tiebreaker.
Yep.
Long term. So, and that even Mitch Creek, like that SFPF is really handy. It makes him so much more valuable than what I think of him as a fantasy prospect going forward. So he's actually someone that I'm, you know, actually targeting in longer term in my team just because of that position eligibility.
Yeah, and yeah, I think you're exactly right. As a tiebreak, you know, if you're choosing between two guys, you might want to go with one that's got that dual position just because of the flexibility it brings, especially now moving, which is great segue onto the next question. When your team's starting to be pretty loaded and you can just be moving around, you know, you might have three guys, you're going from, let's say, like you said, power forward, small forward, you might be rotating three guys through those two starting positions and one bench spot, for example, easily as you go.
The best example I think of is the SGSF guys. It's and that's where Cleveland gets downgraded, but like McCall and Agata, and I'm sure there's another name there that you can probably flick through there, that these top guys.
Oh, Rowdy.
Yeah, Rowdy McDaniel, like on our team. But the interchangeability of those guys is really attractive.
Yep, like it. And so moving on to Tyson, with the breaks that we've had in the schedule, big imports are cheaper than they should be. I think he's talking Cheese, maybe even Franks, etc. McCall.
Yep.
When will we see full primo teams?
Complete teams.
My answer to that is, Tyson, have you seen Banksy's team?
Yeah.
You had a look at the rankings and click the little button there to have a look at Banksy's team or what?
I'll tell you what, I mean, have a look at the team value. If you rank by team value, team where you're value, sitting at the moment. It's – I mean – for Banksy, you're probably not too far off. For me, like, I'm having to go, and it starts with the Magne, the Humphreys, the Lamar Patterson. They were literally three players I had different to Banksy at the start of the year, and they all cratered in value, and it's made a significant difference from then on out. I'm having to go apparent bargain shopping with the likes of Delaney and Harrison instead of getting in Franks and Yanni last week, which I should have done in hindsight because it's cost me 200K in price rises as well. But Banksy, maybe a good idea is to look at your team structure and how that's sort of standing at the moment and what your plans are.
Well, it's definitely not complete. Let's not go that far. I've probably given away my trades on the podcast so far. However, I am definitely upgrading Zunic this week, who was obviously on my point guard bench. I guess one way, without showing my whole team, is to look at the amount of players that are over the $1 million mark and how many players I guess I will have remaining post this round that are under that $1 million mark. So at the moment, all of my players, and this is on the court plus my bench players, all of them are above $1 million at this point, except for two. So as it stands, unless my trades do change, I'll have Majuk Majuk on my center bench spot still at 860K, hoping to get a little bit more of a rise this round from him, and still stuck with McVeigh on my small forward bench at 540K. So outside of those two guys, which obviously I'll definitely endeavor to upgrade going forward, all of my other players are now over the $1 million mark. And something I definitely have done over the past couple of weeks, particularly the way you looked at the schedule, Benny, of having the four trades with only the one game last week over the two rounds to fix up your team and plan ahead, was I downgraded. I was carrying Cotton and Law for a lot of the seasons to date. So by downgrading those guys to guys close to that $1 million mark, I was able to upgrade some of our bench guys, like getting Zunic up to an Adams receiver. And by doing so, it's left me with less players. I've got to obviously upgrade going forward.
Who's your cheapest player? What are your under sub-million guys, Boydie?
Oh, I've got McVay as well, but and Majuk, as Banksy has, but I also have Josh Adams sitting on the bench there at 860K and Willie Magnay, 800K.
Yep. Or you could be in the position like I am with Tyrell, Finn Delaney, Ryan Brokoff, Sam McDaniel, Will Magnay, and Majuk under $1 million, but like I don't have that 500K in McVay, so...
Not such a bad thing with this. I've got
money in the bank to get Rowdy up to McCall already next week. So take one of those away. If we go sub 950, you know, that gets Delaney and Harrison over the line. Guys, come on, give me a chance here.
We'll give it.
But the thing is, I want to know, like, should you even have targeting like so that's where I kind of feel like I've stuffed up. I've got these 700Kers, which are just sitting there getting the 25 points a game sort of thing. That's what I'm hoping for. But just staying around the same price, not really making any money. In an ideal world, you'd be just because you're only getting half points, you'd be looking for those downgrade targets that are going to actually make you money to then do a downgrade upgrade. At the moment, it's really difficult. So it might actually be worth, I don't know if you guys have got any cash cows in mind that we might just finish up on?
Yeah, I mean, the only one I'm thinking about long-term as a possibility at present is Kai Soto at Adelaide. Now, how he fits into that lineup when you've got Cam Bairstow just ripping it up, you've got Humph and DJ sort of just plodding along, really. They haven't really shone too brightly. But I guess those three guys, we were thinking that they're going to get most of the minutes, but they have said that Soto's going to get key minutes. And I think his points per minute is pretty good, Benny. Forgive me if I'm wrong.
Oh, yeah, sensational.
So I think he's still about 270K or something along those lines, isn't he?
2.8, rounded.
So he's one that I'm kind of keeping my eye on as a possibility to downgrade.
It is difficult because he takes up one of those valuable center slots we were talking about. Yeah. But yeah. He's even if you had to hold Zunic this week and you had a point guard at your six-man slot, you could easily get Zunic to Soto Adams next week, and that could be as a sideways move is something else I was planning on doing. I've got a few names, but Banksy, have you got anything outside of Soto that you I guess you're pretty protective of your team at the moment. It's going pretty well. It'd be a big risk.
Yeah, look, happy to be transparent, but I mean, it's something I am interested in purely because I think it's going to be quite challenging to get McVay and Majuk to players over that $1 million mark. And I guess at this point, it has been a season that's gone against the grain with our cash cows. We haven't had the cash cows.
At
a basement price as we have in previous seasons. But as we know, we weren't expecting the prices as they were set out in round one compared to other seasons. And that's where, particularly for my team, it's not that I've selected all these cash cows. There haven't really been any basement bargain cash cows as such that, you know, outside of your Travers and that sort of thing that were a little bit higher price than basement price. But it's more your $1 million guys that have selected that are increasing in price. I mean, for me, the reason my team value is increasing is, you know, your Yanni Wetzels, your Mans, your Cooks, you know, they're the players that are – and Agata as well. Like, they're my $1 million players that are actually increasing my team value, as opposed to past seasons where you've got your bargain basement cash cows that are making your money. So it's a little bit of a season outside of what we're used to.
Yeah, which is why if you like the Warren Dogs and you've still got Vic Law and Bryce Cotton sitting there on your bench, you're doing what Banksy has done and doing those downgrades to your Cheese and your, obviously you need Yanni this week, but guys that will continue to go up and try and get those bench targets up. I've got a few real yuck ones, right? Because this is how bad my team's going. So I agree with what you say about Soto. The other options just come to mind. Well, obviously, Dejan Vasiljevic is getting very, very cheap. who, like, I think that he showed that he was a very good player last season. He could be at some time at least a downgrade, just so you can get, like, if you're scoring more fantasy points than Ryan Brokhoff at a cheaper price, it could be a good cash grab.
Yep.
Not a cow necessarily, but a grab.
Yep.
Another one who I didn't mind last year, who I think, if fit, would have a decent role, is Jordan Nartai. And with all the games Cairns have left, we've seen Bull Quoll be really good.
Yep.
He's obviously handling the ball, but Nartai had some good games, had a good stretch there where he was averaging in the 20s. Yep. Last season. He's 370K.
Cheap.
He's very cheap. Someone that I've got my eye on for sure. And the other one, just the injured guys. A player that, like Humphreys, was comparatively underpriced compared to last year and what he should have been, is Sunday Dech. No injury update on him yet. Hasn't played a minute, but he's only 630K. I think he could actually make money on top of that, but also could be a cash grab player. We'll have to wait and see what the role is, but there are a few that come to mind.
I think I did read that he is set to maybe play this week.
I've been on the lookout, so.
Coach Bruton was quoted as saying that there was something that I read about Soto and him, an article about Soto, and it was definitely mentioned that the break's been good because they've been able to get Sunday back, I think.
Yeah. And the other way we're going to make our money going forward is going from Franks to someone like JLA. If the schedule flips at a point, that's where you get your 400K. There'll be a point in time you'll be able to do something like that. Maybe we'll get a Brandon Ashley type that's actually, you know, there's been a couple named in the media today. It was Son Maker, it was Mango Mathiang. Maybe they'll come in at $1 million at some point. We'll get that 1.4 guy down to someone where we can get that cash grab and do an upgrade on the other end. But, yeah, I think that probably covers all of it.
I got a couple to highlight for you.
Oh, okay. You're going to throw us off the scent with a few.
No. This isn't. I mean, one I was going to highlight just to rub it in a little bit was
Jack Salt.
I did like the potential of Salt getting some minutes. Yes, he did look good, but I think that was definitely Tyrell Harrison foul. As a result, the foul trouble he was in. I was just going to say, and this is just off the back of what you're saying in downgrading some of your higher price players to players that are slightly cheaper, and that's partly due to some of these cancellations. But one I do, you know, if we're looking at the games remaining going forward, and one that I know a lot of our Discord patrons have highlighted as well, is Scotty Machado.
Eventually, yeah.
So he's at $1 million now.
Oh, God, we've opened a can of worms here. RJ Hunter, so, your boy. Down the truck.
And I like RJ.
And this might be an unpopular one as a non-owner. But look, at some point, it's got to turn around and the minutes have to increase as well. And that's Will Magne. Happy for you to disagree.
I like it a lot too.
I mean, he's 700 and something thousand at the moment. At some point, he's got to be playing more than, I'm looking at his game log here at the moment, minutes of 15, 21, 20, 18.
Such a great.
He's going to get to the point where, I mean, if this Tassie team is going to be successful later on in the season, and we already, it's well documented, they don't have a lot of bigs there as well. At some point, he needs to be playing 30 minutes a game. He's going to shake that rust, and he's going to get to the point where, you know, we're going to see a bit more of the Will Magne of old. So
he had a couple of bad games there at the start, but his last two, he's averaged 28 over the last two games in 22 minutes a game. So
he's going to bottom out, as you, if you want to call it that. His price is going to bottom out, and his minutes are going to increase. So,
and there's two I'm looking at right in front of me at the moment: Jack White and Matthew Hodgson. I think, I don't know what price Podgy would have to get down to to eventually take over that starting role and be a playable person, but who knows? There's potential there.
So I jump in. I think they're saying they're closer to getting Sunday Dech back on the floor, bit closer. Didn't actually say he's playing, but he's practicing. So I just thought I'd just correct myself there.
Beautiful.
All right, I think that wraps us up for the week. We've had a pretty good discussion. I think almost an hour we're almost up to. So hopefully all the questions out there have been answered and everyone's ready to go for this round now that we've got a few more than one game going on. So always look on the bright side of life is what I try to do, and I'm thankful that we're going to have a Thursday night game, Friday night game, et cetera, because it gives me something to watch after I've put Jack down to bed. Thanks, guys. As always, we're on Twitter at @bball_blokes. We're on Facebook, Basketball Blokes, or the number one source of NBL fantasy information, including Banksy's player logs from previous years, which you can look up Bashley's stats against everyone under the sun.
Please use it.
You can find that at www.basketballblokes.com. Until next week, ciao, buongiorno.